nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
An unknown author said, "Self-motivated people make commitments. Ordinary people make promises." Hi, I'm Steve Klein, and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. In the studio today are two guests who are not ordinary. Our first Playmakers company is over 120 years old and was involved in the building of the Panama Canal, where our second Playmaker started in telecommunications and became a Doctor of Divinity. With us today is a president and CEO of a company that began in 1893 in Cleveland, Ohio, while our next Playmaker is CEO of an international ministry for children, families, and elders. These great Playmakers are Jeff Kilpatrick. Jeff is president and CEO of Whitmore, and Albert Reyes. Albert is president and CEO of Buckner International, and we're going to begin today's show with Albert. Albert Reyes is the sixth president and CEO of Buckner International, has worked for Buckner since 2007. He previously served as president of Buckner International and president of Buckner Children and Family Services. Buckner International is a global, faith-based ministry dedicated to transforming the lives of orphans, vulnerable children, families, and elders in the United States and around the world. Founded in 1879 in Dallas, today Buckner serves people worldwide through a variety of programs designed to protect children and build strong families. These programs include foster care and adoption, family transition programs, community-based family preservation programs, and retirement services for the elderly. Albert, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Question I want to have for you, because you've been involved in a lot, so I'm going to throw all this into one question. How does a manager with Sprint, where you start out, get his Doctor of Divinity degree and become CEO of Buckner International?
Thank you, Steve. That's a great question. You know, it really goes back to the very beginning of my life. I seem to have been on two tracks most of my life. I started out with my parents in family businesses. We would work with my parents. So we had grocery stores, we had laundromats, candy wholesale distribution. So even as a nine-year-old boy, I learned the value and the importance of a customer. And on the other track, I was involved in our church. And when I was 15, I answered a call to vocational ministry, preached the very first time when I was 16. So that's 39 years or so of doing the same thing. And as it comes to Buckner International, it is a ministry, but it's run like a business, a large nonprofit ministry that's worldwide. So there are business aspects to doing the ministry. So those two tracks represent how I'm here today.
So you really have the best of both worlds. You have your ministry and your CEO, which I'm going to continue on the same track about your background. Your background began with a video that I saw on the Buckner.org website. That was about your grandfather becoming an orphan at a very young age, and that's as far as you went back, and then building up to today. Talk a little bit about how you ended up using your relatives as far as where you are today.
Well, it's interesting. My grandfather was orphaned as a child, and when I started reflecting back on my journey and where I am today, it's really been good for me to reflect his journey and the things that he went through, even as a dad with his family, with my dad included in that group of nine children picking cotton in West Texas. I remember my dad talking to me about, you know, working all day long, picking cotton, 100 pounds of cotton at the end of the day, 75 cents for the day's work, beans and tortillas for breakfast and lunch. And then he'd always say, but it was better at night. It was refried beans and tortillas. And, you know, that kind of helps me to remember that no matter how far I've come or gone or whatever I've been able to achieve, to remember my roots and remember people still today suffer and have a hard time. They're without families. And even in the best of situations, the best they can do is just eat and work and not much more than that. Those are the kinds of people that I engage with and serve today around the world.
Well, that gets you well grounded because of what happened in your heritage. Right. Let's go back even farther now and talk about the man that started Buckner, and that's R.C. Buckner. I understand he raised $27 for an orphan's home. Talk a little bit about how Buckner International started.
Well, you know, it started in the life of Robert Cook Buckner. At the age of 17, he became a pastor, and he was from Tennessee. We talked about how Texas gets populated with Tennesseans, and here's one that really made a difference. He went through Kentucky, and when he arrived in Texas, there was a man that was running for governor by the name of Sam Houston. And so he arrived in Texas, began pastoring, and gathered people together. Right after the Civil War, having lived through that experience, he recognized that lots of children whose dads went to the war didn't return. And the mothers that were left to care for children as widows had a really, really tough time even making it financially. Healthcare, economic concerns, and those issues really were a struggle on the family. And he saw thousands of children that just were orphans, and decided to do something about it. So he convened the people that he worked with, Baptist pastors from across the state, and even reached out to other denominations, the Jewish community, Presbyterian, Lutheran, and said, we have to do something about our children in this community. So he gathered them at a deacon's rally convention and said the one question that kind of stuck there that day is, what if it was you and you were dead and your children left? Who would you want to take care of them? How would you want them cared for? That was the rallying call that then caused them to give money. He collected $27, took it into the congregation, asked them to consider the same question, and they collected $200 that day. And then about 2 years later, they are able to have enough to actually start the home at the corner of Junius and Haskell right here in Dallas.
Well, my guess is that $200 is probably close to $200,000 in today's money. That's a lot of money that he was able to raise that quickly.
It was.
Talk a little bit about what Buckner is, what Buckner does, because you're Dallas-based. You have a lot of offices around Texas, and I believe one in Tennessee, but you're also worldwide. So talk a little bit about what you do and how you pull all that together.
Sure. We really are driven from the Bible verse that R.C. Buckner focused on, James 1:27, that says to pure religion that the Father accepts is to care for orphans and widows, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself undefiled from the world. And so he really focused on taking care of orphans and children. We would say vulnerable children today in the U.S. In other countries, they're referred to as orphans. And then widows are the elderly. So we have two divisions of work, the children and families division and then the senior division. In the children and families area, we focus primarily on foster care, family place or family transition programs, and then family hope centers. So foster care would be a family that would take in a child that is either neglected, abandoned, or abused, come out of their home. CPS would then take the child out and then need to find a family. So we have families that are willing to open their home because we realize the best place for a child to grow up is in a family versus an institution. The family place is for moms that have come out of domestic violence or have had a tough time economically. They come to our family place with the agreement to go to college, get the associate degree, and then be able to have their own job and support their families independently from the situation that they were in. And then Family Hope Centers really are designed to intervene and catch families when they're struggling and help them get stronger so they don't disintegrate and then need the other services. Then, of course, in the retirement community, it's the independent living, assisted living, skilled nursing, memory care, and hospice services for one continuum of care in the locations where we serve.
We're going to talk about that in a second because you have something new coming up that's going to open in a few years. But how can people get involved? You're a nonprofit. You need to pull those dollars in all the time. Sure. How can people get involved with Buckner International?
Sure. We really depend on people of goodwill to realize that there are people around them that are suffering and that are having a difficult time. Here in the Dallas area, we do have after-school programs at the Family Hope Center at Wynwood in South Dallas. And then we also encourage people to give a pair of shoes, to donate a pair of shoes or to do a shoe drive, either companies or social organizations or their churches, even children that want to have a birthday party. We have a program where they can ask their friends not to bring a gift but to bring a brand new pair of shoes. We are in our 15th year this year of collecting shoes for orphan souls, and we expect to hit a goal of 3 million pairs of shoes, and we've now shipped to over 85 countries around the world. These shoes will go all over the world, 8 countries that we work in, and beyond that, to help children who don't have shoes to have a pair of shoes. Now, you might think, well, what difference does a pair of shoes make? Well, for a child who doesn't have any, Many schools require a pair of shoes. So I know of a family that they had one pair of shoes and two children, so they take turns wearing shoes so they can go to school every other day. So that pair of shoes could make a difference in someone's education. Children sometimes cut their feet and on glass or metal or wood and then step into contaminated water. The parasites can get in their bloodstream and eventually kill the child because they didn't have a $20 pair of shoes.
Obviously, you want to get you on new shoes. We also take gently used shoes too.
We focus 100% on a brand new pair of shoes that are contributed either money that could buy shoes or the shoes themselves.
Now they can find out about this. I would guess at your website, which is buckner.org. Or BAFamily.org, because I believe there's information about the Shoes for Souls.
Well, BAFamily.org is a website that folks can learn about foster care. The website for shoes is shoesfororphansouls.com, and that's the one that we can direct them to.
Well, what led you to Buckner? Because you've had a number of different jobs along the way. Why Buckner?
You know, I go back to when I was in my early 20s and started thinking about how I should manage my life and, you know, where this train was actually going. I started thinking about the future, and because I had some business background and management education, Angelo State University, and then seminary education, wondering what does that combination mean and where can I best deposit my life to make a difference for people around me. And I was serving as president of Baptist University of the Americas in San Antonio and had a great, wonderful time there and felt I was at a time where I'd either need to lock in for the next 7 years or consider an option. And about that time, I was contacted and made aware of the growth at Buckner and the fact that they were going to succession planning. So I thought, well, I'm going to pursue that and pray about it. And if that door closes, I'll just keep doing what I love doing. The door opened and had an opportunity to come here, work with Dr. Ken Hall, who's my predecessor, now at Baylor University, a senior VP for strategic initiatives and development. But it's been a great year. The trustees really another component of how this ministry has lasted over 135 years voted me as president, and I've continued to serve with them. And so that's how the journey got me to Dallas.
Here you are today. But you have something new happening. We have about 30 seconds more, but tell us a little bit about one of the areas you're going to with a new large two-tower senior living center in North Dallas.
You bet. It's called Ventana by Buckner. Ventana is the Spanish word for window. So we are talking about window to the future, window to opportunities. It's a brand new senior care community that we're getting ready to start. We hope to break ground in 2016 and cut the ribbon in 2018. It'll be right on 75 Northwest Highway with all the amenities that folks would like to have when they retire. We're really excited about the future opportunities for people that live in the Dallas area.
Buckner International, tell us one more time, Albert, how anybody can get a hold of you through the web.
You bet. The best address is buckner.org, BUCKNER.org. And to reach us at that web address, you can learn everything about what we do around the world.
Well, Albert, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show. Wonderful to hear about it.
Thank you, Steve.
Albert Reyes, who is the president and CEO of Buckner International. Don't go away. We have more. We have Jeff Kilpatrick. Jeff is president and CEO of Whitmore. We're going to talk about lubricants when we come back right after this.
Join the fight against childhood cancer by joining the 29th annual Oktoberfest Run for Children on Saturday, September 20th. This family-friendly event is part of Addison's annual Oktoberfest celebration, with all proceeds benefiting Wipe Out Kids Cancer, a Dallas-based nonprofit dedicated to raising awareness and funding for childhood cancer research and to providing hope and support to children with cancer. There's a one-mile fun run and a 5K course, cash prizes, free food, German beer, awards, and entertainment. Also, receive one free admission to Oktoberfest on race day. Register at Oktoberfest5k.com.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. Our guest for the second segment is Jeff Kilpatrick. Jeff is president and CEO of a company called Whitmore, which he joined in 2012. It's a 121-year-old manufacturer of high-performance industrial lubricants and lubrication management equipment that provide continual reliability and uptime for critical equipment. Headquartered in Rockwall, Whitmore's 225,000-square-foot facility includes a fully integrated manufacturing plant, state-of-the-art research center, training facility, and corporate offices. After completing his Bachelor of Science in Mathematics from Vanderbilt University and receiving an MBA from the University of Texas at Austin, Jeff started his career as a management consultant for Arthur Andersen. After leaving the consulting business, Jeff worked in various sales and marketing management roles for high-growth businesses in the educational publishing, software, and telecommunications industries. Jeff, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks, Steve.
Your company has an interesting background. It's over 120 years old. How did Samuel Whitmore's company, which began in Cleveland, Ohio in 1893, become a large Rockwall company in 2014?
That's a great question, Steve. Basically, Samuel Whitmore in Ohio started the business, and originally he was looking at the automobile industry and some other industries. And back then, they used belt dressings, which is really what was used pulley systems for manufacturing equipment. So he made the dressings that went on those. But he got a huge opportunity early in the 1900s when they were excavating the Panama Canal. And as you can imagine, there was lots of excavation equipment that was used to cut through the country. And so he got a lubrication contract for some of the earth-moving equipment that was used in excavating the Panama Canal. So that's what really began Whitmore on its path in earth-moving. And our biggest market today around the world is in the coal mining and other types of mineral mining around the world. So that's how we really got our start back into earth moving and the lubrication of those critical pieces of equipment that you need to do that.
Well, according to your website, which is whitmores.com, W-H-I-T-M-O-R-E-S.com, three of the key areas you work in, as you mentioned, mining, rail, and industrial. So you have different divisions, different companies for each of those divisions?
We actually have people who are focused on those. It's one company, but we have specialists in each one of those sectors and industries, because the types of lubricants you use in a mine and on the equipment that's using there versus on a railroad track are quite different. So you need to understand the applications for those products and exactly what kinds of chemistries and formulas do you need to actually protect that piece of equipment, whether it be a gear or a railroad track.
Well, according to the Dallas Business News in an article that I read, that you are selling products in 100 different companies, and approximately 60% of your business is outside the United States. Apparently, there's a need because you are doing a lot of work in Colombia and also in Russia. How have you found that work, and is there more of a need outside the U.S. than there is in the U.S.?
Actually, there's needs in both all areas of the world. It depends on the specific market, as the coal mining market in the U.S. is not a strong market because of some of the environmental regulations that are going on, but coal is still a huge source of energy for power generation. And so we, over the last 10 years or so, have really increased our international business, and we do that through a very large network of international distributors who represent the Whitmore brand. And so we have different companies in different countries, and they focus on the primary industries in their country. So, for example, in Colombia, we do a lot of business in the coal mining, because coal mining is very large. Russia is also a very large coal mining business. Steel mills are also very big for us. We do a lot of steel business in China. So we focus on distribution and the different companies that are in those areas, and they represent our line, and primarily just the lubrication products, as well as the things to keep those lubricants clean and contaminant free, to get the application and the equipment to run and be reliable and be up and not go down.
Well, being over 120 years old and being in the lubrication business, I'm sure you understand lubrications well enough, and there's other different areas you can also get into. Are there any other areas your industries and markets you're looking for right now to get into that you have not been in?
Yeah, one of the big areas of growth for Whitmore is, and what we call reliability products or contamination control, because lubrication is really one of the primary things that you can do to keep your machinery up and running. And that's critical for all of our customers. You know, the equipment they use is producing revenue for them, so they don't want to be down. So if you lubricate properly, then you can keep your equipment up and running. And there are a variety of different things that you can do to prevent particles, contaminants, moisture from entering your oils or your greases. And those things break down the lubricants, and then they don't perform properly. So we are in the business of trying to bring our customers not only a specialty and high-performance lubricant, but to keep it clean, make sure that you get the proper lubricant in the proper application. We have a variety of different products to store and to filter that oil and make it easy to color code it. We own a brand called Oil Safe, which is a system for managing your lubricants that keeps them segregated and makes it easy for anyone in a plant to make sure they get the right lubricant in the right spot and make sure it's clean and filtered. Many people don't know that oils, as they're manufactured, are not clean enough to use, and you have to actually filter them before you put them in use and then continue to filter them to keep them clean as you progress along the use of those products.
With as many different industries and clients that you have, obviously you have lubricants that can fill a number of different areas, but do you do custom work for companies where your chemists are looking exactly what they need to develop a new formula just for that application?
We do. If there is, that's really the heritage of Whitmore. Whitmore has really built its business by being very customer centric. And when some of the big guys don't have a product to meet a customer's need, they'll be looking for somebody to help them, because they may have a specific application that has a load or pressure that's outside the specifications of the products that are available, or temperatures or environmental conditions that make it very difficult. So we've built business based on working closely with customers and understanding the exact applications they have and custom designing a product that would meet their needs as well as the needs of, you know, other people that are similar to them.
Let's talk a little bit about your background, because you obviously were not with Whitmore in, back in the 1890s. you're a little bit younger than that. How did you end up CEO of Whitmore? What was the path that led you there?
Yeah, interesting. You know, my career has been a variety of different industries as well as positions. I started out, as you mentioned earlier, as a management consultant, which was all about kind of learning how to tackle problems and see, you know, what issues companies have, quickly assess them and figure out what to do about them. And so that was a great, you know, beginning. And then I moved into the corporation because, you know, as a consultant, sometimes it's a little frustrating. You can tell people what to do, but you don't get the opportunity to help them. So I was really interested in implementing change, not just talking about it. And so I moved into industry and worked for some large companies and some very small companies. And really the last 3 years, I focused on businesses that have grown very quickly and needed to figure out how to absorb that growth as well as to sustain it for the long term. So I have worked for Whitmore is owned by Capital Southwest, who is a private equity or business development company here in Dallas. And I worked for another one of their businesses called ShockWatch the previous 7 to 8 years. So they were in search of a new CEO back in 2011 late and asked if I would join, and it was a great opportunity for me.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. I saw an older article in the Dallas Business Journal that you increased your business some 80%. That's about a year or so old. Sounds like you've done a tremendous job in a short time just expanding business for Whitmore.
Absolutely. We've grown really double digit and almost every year except for one over the last 10 years. And a lot of that's from this international growth that we were talking about earlier. As you expand internationally, there's very huge markets with lots of revenue potential. So we've grown that. And then we've also made a couple acquisitions of businesses over the last couple years to get into some new areas. For example, in the rail market, we purchased a company out of the UK called QHI Rail. And they were a distributor of ours, and they actually manufacture the equipment that you use to put our lubricant on a railroad track. So we're basically vertically integrating so we can offer a bigger solution to our customers in the rail friction management area.
Well, you have a number of areas you focus on, some organizing principles, mission, vision, core values, strategy, brand. Sounds like you put those into place as you came into Whitmore or built on those there. How has that had an impact on what you've done?
Yeah, I think it's really important. You know, one of the things that small companies, as they grow quickly, they kind of struggle to move to a mid-sized business. And, you know, there's some real principles of getting organizing principles in place and established, embraced by all the employees, and really everybody knows where they fit. So we spent some time focusing on mission, vision, and core values. You know, a lot of businesses have a mission statement, but it doesn't really drive what they do. So we spent a lot of time as a management team and as an organization putting together something that people really understood, they could identify, they could easily repeat it, and then rally behind it. So, you know, for Whitmore, our vision is really all about being an innovative company, offering, you know, innovative products for these critical assets, and increasing the efficiency, the productivity, and the reliability of those assets. And so that's what, bringing different products to our customers to do that. And then really from a mission standpoint, mission is really, you know, how you want to do that. And so from our perspective, as we dug deep to try to understand exactly, you know, what are we trying to do here, we really felt like we wanted to focus on an exceptional experience for all of those that we serve. And, you know, we serve a lot of people. We serve our employees. We serve our customers. We serve our vendors. We serve our owners. And we wanted to create such an exceptional experience for those folks that they would always put us as their first choice. So core values are also key. Albert was mentioning earlier, you know, his business is all about core values. We are very focused on doing business the right way. So we really serve others with honesty, integrity, respect, and trust. And those are our guiding principles. When we have decisions to make, we do the right thing.
It's interesting you say that, because one of the things I work with clients on is that exceptional service, and you truly are a commodity. Your customers can get lubricants anywhere.
Right.
Why should they get them from Whitmore? It's obviously because of the way you take care of them and what you're doing for them and your people. And that's a key part of that.
That's right.
Your website, again, is?
It is Whitmore's, WHITMORES.com.
And if you want information about Whitmore, that's where you go, to whitmores.com. Jeff, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Jeff Kilpatrick is president and CEO of Whitmore. He is a rock wall company. And if you want to, as I've mentioned a number of times, to check any of our shows out, you can always go to PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our replays and our past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com. And we're going to be back next week. We'll have more Playmakers. We'll see you then.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.